This was an unexpected trip for me. Things worked out, and I feel so honored that I have the opportunity to be with such a wonderful group of people, all of whom in one way or another are concerned with teaching and concerned with bringing large numbers of people in Canada into the faith. The purpose of this meeting is really to consult more than to give long conferences. However, what I should try to do is to talk a little bit about the some of the experiences that I know of, especially in Colombia, but it is very similar in certain other parts of South America. More than anything else, to set up a context within which we could then consult about the teaching work in Canada. And as I describe a little bit these experiences, we could identify some areas, some concepts, some ideas that maybe we would like to consult about later. I think all of us have been, during the past decades, thinking about and working with the concept of entry by troops or mass conversion. We have had around the world many experiences, very good experiences and sometimes not very so good experiences. But the important thing is that we have learned a great deal. And through the sacrifice, through the hard work of hundreds and thousands of Baha'is, we have established the faith of Baha'u'llah in the world. The faith is really established in the world. Wherever we go, every nation, there is an administrative structure, and there is a large or a small group of Baha'is working, teaching, and trying to construct the world order of Baha'u'llah. The question that has been in the minds of everyone, basically, is the question of expansion and consolidation, which has been the challenge that we have been facing in everywhere. And so sometimes the problems of consolidation has stopped expansion. In many places we have begun to bring in large numbers of people into the faith, and then we have not been able to continue for many reasons, but usually because we have not been able to consolidate them, or at least not been able to do what we thought was consolidation. Sometimes the friends have actually got a little scared in certain places of the large numbers who have come in, and didn't know how to handle that. But there have been all sorts of different experiences. But we have been working. The Baha'i community has been working in all over the globe, trying to find ways and methods to do a type of an expansion of the faith, expansion, consolidation together, that somehow won't stop, that will actually, there will be a process of growth which will continue, and we will get to the kind of mass conversion or entry by troops that we've been dreaming about for many, many years, and it is a desire of all of our hearts. So let me just try to explain then the efforts of one group of Baha'is in Colombia in the past decade trying to meet this challenge. And it is very important to recognize that describing the experiences of other people does not mean that one is suggesting that then everybody should follow exactly what they did. That is not the purpose of bringing experiences and talking about them. The purpose is to know of other visions, of other possibilities, of things other people have found, because finally the real detailed plans, the methods, the ways of bringing about the entry of troops in Canada will have to be done by you, by the Canadian believers, and it will have to be done through an attitude of somewhat of an experimentation in which you enter a process, you learn what works, what doesn't work, you don't give up, and you continue at it until the methods are found and until people, more and more people, are experienced and begin to develop the kind of intuition, feeling, knowledge that will then push forward the whole process. When in many places mass conversion began, or what we are calling mass conversion, which is basically the possibility of going to a people someplace, in the villages, or usually not in a whole country, but in a region of a country. Usually you would find in some region of a country of small towns and villages. Later we found that the same thing could happen in some of the neighborhoods of very big cities. You would find people who were extremely receptive to the faith. What did that mean? Basically it meant, or it means, that first of all, these people are very easy to get to. One could walk in the streets of a village, they're all there, and one could easily go and talk to them. So didn't have to spend 90% of his energy trying to figure out how do you get to them, how do you get their attention. That part was sort of worked out by the situation. There were people who didn't close the doors at you. They were happy to see you, and they were happy to hear you. In fact, if you went to talk to some people and then you went by and didn't talk to others, they would be very hurt. They would feel that you were ignoring them. And of course, the whole population of the world is full of groups like that. And I think that is not just the question of South America or Africa. North America also has populations like that. Then the excitement of that teaching was really too much for a lot of the people who got involved in it. My own experience doesn't go as far back as those who really started these processes. I went there about 12 years ago when people knew how to do this. And I was taken by an auxiliary board member who I remember very well came to me and asked, he looked at me and he says, well, he's a doctor from a degree from the United States. He must be one of those people who will not accept any of these things. And he was very apprehensive and said, you know what we do here? I said, what do you do? He said, we go to the people and we tell them that Baha'u'llah has come, and we explain to them that he is the manifestation of God for today, that he has brought a new message, we talk something about the teachings and so on, and they accept. We ask them if they want to become Baha'is, and they say yes. And then he turns around to me, do you accept that? I started thinking. I could have never imagined that some. I had heard about mass conversion, but I had never been so close. It was really there in front of me. And I thought about it. Then I remembered the story of Mullah Hussein going through the cities, especially Isfahan, right after he had received the message from the Baha. And I tried to think. I said, well, what could he have said, for example, to some of the people, like the sieve of the wheat and so on, who later went to Tabarsi and gave their lives. What could he have said? He certainly couldn't have had a lot of books. He couldn't have told them to study this and that. But more or less, this is what he must have told them, that the Promised One has come, and these are some of his teachings, and they must have said yes. So, all right, I said, all right, if it was done then it must be possible here also. Then I was taken by him to some places, and I began to learn how he really did this. And I think later we would talk a little bit about that. But the point is that this excitement that it was possible for any one of us to give the message of Baha'u'llah to some people, and not after years of studying, but very soon they would actually accept the message, was an emotion that most of us, it was really a great emotion. It was an amazing thing. And of course, one is brought up to have doubts about everything. So everything, are they really Baha'is? And so one would go back later and ask them, you know, some questions. Was it really? Did they really accept? The first ideas, though, of mass conversion were that if we gave them the message of Baha'u'llah, and they knew the word Baha'u'llah, and they maybe learned some prayers, that somehow the power of the faith by itself would help them to progress and become very active Baha'is, very deep Baha'is, according to their own level of understanding. That was a sincere thought that one felt, everyone felt that would really happen. Now it turned out that only happened with very, very few people from among those who accepted the faith very quickly. Now that is a fact, that is a reality. There's nothing wrong with having had so much faith before that one felt that just the power of the word would, without doing much more later, would take them to become, would deepen them. But it turned out that is not really the case for the majority of the people. There were individuals, very special individuals, somehow mysteriously prepared, who really didn't need anything. There was one man who now is a pioneer in Nicaragua from Colombia. I remember very well. We taught him. He listened. Then he went to his room. He had a little statue of Christ. He took it to the marketplace, sold it. That's it. Baha'u'llah has come. None of the past. He sat down, began to study the faith. He was not very educated. In 2 years he was a member of National Assembly. In 3 years he went pioneering to another country. Now, but these were very exceptions among hundreds and thousands of people who were accepting. So one could not establish a whole pattern of saying, therefore, because those cases happened, we don't have to consolidate. Let's just teach. We would have to think in terms of a whole process of expansion and consolidation that would work with large numbers of people, not just exceptions. So, the the whole challenge then became to discover ways that we could deepen these many, many new Baha'is. Some of the ideas that come out, and some of the probably misconceptions that one has, which disappeared throughout the time as experience is gathered, and then better results become apparent. Some of them are like this. The first concept of mass deepening somehow have this idea that you have to deepen everybody to the same level. Does not accept the possibility that mass deepening is not a mold that everybody has to fall into within the same period of time. And that is where many people who get involved in that kind of teaching become frustrated, because they expect certain results from everybody. And usually the standard, the norm, is the teacher himself, is the pioneer, or the person who has taught. And he begins to think, well, when I became a Baha'i, I just did this and that and that. I went to so many things. So there is this tendency to compare one's own background, one's own way of becoming a Baha'i with hundreds of other people who in general are not like one at all, culturally, different backgrounds. And there are different kinds, they are coming into the faith through different channels. They are accepting the faith in different ways at the beginning. So that was one of the barriers, if you wish, that we slowly had to get over. To understand that deepening then would mean that at any given time, different Baha'i friends would be at different levels of deepening. That was a very important concept. The other important concept that arose was that our deepenings, we used to have institutes, bring the friends together, meetings, were meetings of instruction. In other words, they were meetings in which we gave information, and we tried to draw a picture of how everything should be. Someone would stand up and give a talk on how a local assembly functions. That is an ideal thing. It does this, it should do this, it should do that, it should do that. That's wonderful. And people would listen, and they enjoy it. They would think that's wonderful. And then they would go, and then we would expect, why doesn't anything happen? Well, we told them how a local assembly should be, why don't they get together and do it? Or we would explain how a Baha'i teacher should be. He should be this, and he should do that, and he should have this qualities and that qualities, and they would all say, wonderful. And they would listen, and they would probably think, well, that's the goal, that's a wonderful thing. But you wouldn't get people to, all of a sudden, after an institute you had with, 50 people, you wouldn't find that they have all gone out and taught the faith and brought many new people in. They would just go back home and be Baha'is the way they were before. So we began to think in terms of a spiritual path of growth, which in a certain sense we soon discovered is not different for anybody. Everybody has to walk this path. A path that, let's say, takes us closer and closer to Baha'u'llah. It is a path of spiritualization, It is a path of gaining true understanding. Now, this path, we all have to walk it. And one of the most important aspects of this path is